Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we are taking a really fascinating turn. We're moving away from the world of digital algorithms and really diving deep into the intersection of high-end music production and maybe the purest sound source imaginable, a mechanical music box.
That's right. And we're going to do that by looking at the story of Oh Young Yip Chun, who is, he's a colossal figure in the Hong Kong music scene.
When you say colossal, what does that really mean for our listeners?
Well, this is a producer, a composer, an arranger who has really been shaping the sound of cantopop for years. He's worked with huge names, Sammy Cheung, Show Lo, Paco Chow, Stafy Tang. You should think of him as one of the most, bankable and respected hit makers in the entire Asian pop market.
Okay, so he's at the top of his game. And our mission today is to track his really unexpected journey. Here's a guy who is so used to the flawless, surgically precise world of digital synthesizers, of high-end studio gear. And yet, he finds his greatest recent creative and emotional fulfillment in a simple mechanical instrument. It's like a journey back to his childhood, but one that's only possible because of modern tech.
It really is the ultimate meeting point of sort of deep nostalgia and breakthrough innovation.
Yeah.
We're using his story to illustrate this whole new value proposition that smart music box technology, specifically something called the Murrow Box, is offering.
Yeah.
It's all about fulfilling creative needs that traditional mechanical music just couldn't.
So let's unpack that. Here's a veteran producer. He's responsible for these massive, intricately produced records like Don't Disturb Love and 6 Days.
Right.
His daily work involves million-dollar studios, gear that's all about precision. What on earth shifts a professional like that? Someone so focused on perfection back towards something so, so simple.
The initial push, the impulse is beautifully personal.
Yeah.
And it came from his home, not the studio. The source tells us the real muse for this whole thing was his 5-year-old daughter.
Oh.
She's a little music lover. And while he'd be in his studio working on these complex, layered compositions, she would just be nearby, humming along to his unfinished songs.
And he described her innocent enthusiasm as the most precious echo in his studio. That interaction sparked a really gentle thought. He wanted to compose songs just for her, but he wanted to do it using the purest, most authentic music box sounds he could find, the sounds of his own childhood.
And that, that immediately unlocks this memory box for him. He was apparently fascinated with music boxes as a kid. He collected them. He bought those cherished Japanese Ghibli music box albums. He was just captivated by that delicate, clear tone.
But this is where the professional reality, it clashes with the dream. Once he actually gets into the high-stakes music industry, he has this major disappointment.
Yeah.
He realizes that many of those sparkling, clear notes he loved on those Ghibli CDs, they weren't actually mechanical music boxes at all.
Right. They were digital imitations.
Yeah.
Really, really good ones, produced by high-end synthesizers, but still imitations.
And that realization, that kind of moment of inauthenticity, it planted a very specific professional dream in his mind, didn't it?
It did. He wanted to hear his own melodies, the ones he composed, played by a real mechanical music box. Not a digital file, not a perfect synth patch, but the genuine article. The physical sound of, tiny metal pins striking tuned teeth.
He even tried to do it the old-fashioned way. He worked with record labels to produce music box versions of his tracks as, little CD gifts. But that's where he slammed into the roadblocks that have always plagued these traditional instruments.
The constraints are just severe, especially when you're talking about the complexity of modern pop music. They were expensive, yes, mm-hmm. but the critical thing was they were so limited in musical range. We're talking maybe a couple of octaves. And in track length.
That's just devastating for a pop producer.
It is.
You can't possibly convey the full emotional arc of a song when you're stuck with a tiny scale and a super short loop. It's impossible. It just couldn't translate his artistic vision.
So that limitation forced him to search for what he called the impossible possibility.
And that search led him to find the Murrow Box online, a music box that could read MIDI signals.
Yes, and this was the breakthrough. This was the technology that bridged his professional need for control with his deep desire for that mechanical purity.
So how did his instincts as a really experienced producer react to this discovery? Because he's probably seen a million gadgets come and go.
He knew immediately this was not a novelty toy. He pointed to a couple of key features. First, the whole ecosystem, the mobile app, the Bluetooth support, that made it accessible. But the second thing, and this was crucial.
The MIDI port.
The professional 5-pin MIDI interface. He knew that 5-pin MIDI gives you reliable, tight timing that consumer Bluetooth can really struggle with. That makes it totally suitable for a high-end studio environment.
Yeah.
And his quote on this was so telling. He said, "You can tell at a glance whether a product comes from a team that truly understands its users."
That professional MIDI connection is absolutely the bridge, isn't it? It connects the world of flawless digital composition to the tangible, real world of genuine mechanical sound. It overcomes every single limitation that stopped him before.
Exactly. It meant, theoretically, infinite track length, infinite range. Well, constrained only by the mechanical structure, not by a paper roll or a fixed cylinder.
So the Miro box arrives. What happens when this veteran producer takes a piece of music he knows inside and out, Don't Disturb Love, he imports the MIDI file, and he hears it played by real mechanical strikes for the very first time?
He said he experienced an indescribable sense of emotion. And I think we need to linger on that for a second. Why would a man who has heard this song thousands of times, probably on speakers that cost tens of thousands of dollars, suddenly feel this surge of emotion from a little music box?
I think you're right. That's a critical question. It's not about fidelity. It's about authenticity. Is that it?
That's exactly it. The synthesizer version, while sonically perfect, is basically just air, electricity, and code.
Yeah.
But the music box version is physical. It's material, it's friction, it's genuine acoustic vibration in a room. It's like finding a treasured handwritten letter in an old box.
Right.
The physicality of how the sound is made validates the memory in a way that digital copy just can't.
That tangible quality is what's missing from so much modern music. But the warmest moment, the real emotional proof that came with his daughter.
Yes, this is the priceless story. He composed a totally new song, You and Me in the Classroom, just for her, using the Miro box. And when he played that custom melody, her eyes just lit up with wonder. And she joyfully asked him, "Is this my song?"
What a moment. I mean, wow.
It's more than a moment, though. It's the new value proposition in action. In that instant, the Miro box stopped being a piece of technology and it became the center of a priceless, tender conversation. That unique, customized, immediate experience. You could never get that from an expensive, factory-made traditional music box. This tech let him create something completely personal, on the spot.
So the emotional mission was a success. Now let's get into the professional application. For a producer of his level, the real test is in the recording studio. He didn't just play it at home.
Oh, no. He brought it into his high-end setup and treated it like a prized acoustic instrument.
Okay, let's talk about the gear, because this really shows how seriously he took the sound source.
Yeah.
We're talking a Manly VOXBOSX preamp, SONY C100 mics, and the legendary Bricosti M7 reverb processor. Why that specific setup?
Well, that selection tells you everything about what he was trying to achieve. The SONY C100 mics are these super high-resolution condensers. They're designed to capture the tiniest acoustic details, perfect for the little subtle strikes and even the whir of the mechanism.
And the Manly VOXBOX.
That's a high-end tube preamp. You use that to add this subtle analog harmonic richness, warmth.
So he was intentionally adding that tube saturation, that warmth, to this delicate mechanical sound before it even hit the digital recorder.
Precisely. He's making sure that the mechanical purity doesn't sound thin or weak in the final mix. And the Bricosti M7 reverb, that's just one of the best digital reverbs ever made. It's for placing that tiny sound into a beautiful, luxurious acoustic space, giving it depth and life. He was really treating this little box like it was a star acoustic guitar.
That raises a really important point. When you put a mechanical device under microphones that sensitive, you're not just recording the notes, you're recording the mechanism.
Right, the noise.
So what technical challenges did he run into during this process?
He flagged two main issues, which are pretty common for any MIDI-controlled physical instrument. First was a tiny bit of physical delay or latency between the digital signal and the actual sound. But he said that's super minimal and very easy to adjust in your DAW.
Your digital audio workstation for our listeners. So software like Pro Tools or Logic. That timing adjustment is pretty standard stuff. What was the second issue?
The mechanical gear noise from the motor.
Right.
And this is where his insight as a producer is so profound, because he basically turns a bug into a feature. He admitted the gear noise is there. You can't totally get rid of it. He used standard tricks to reduce it. Lowered the motor speed, moved the mics around. Use some noise reduction plugins.
But then he made the case that the noise itself adds something valuable. Now, isn't that just, I don't know, romanticizing a flaw? What does that imperfection actually bring to the table emotionally?
It's a fair question, but his answer really gets to the heart of modern music tastes. Yeah. He argued that in our current world of super clean electronic music and now AI-generated music, that mechanical sound, that authentic gear noise, it adds a unique warmth. It adds authenticity.
So it's a signature, a sign that something real is happening.
Exactly. He drew a direct line to lo-fi producers who deliberately add vinyl crackle or tape hiss to their tracks to create a cozy human feel. The imperfection signals tangibility. It tells your brain, this was made by a real physical machine moving in space, and that connects with you on a different level than a flawless synthesizer ever could.
I find that perspective fascinating. He also gave some really practical arrangement advice for other Miro Box users, didn't he?
Yeah, and you can really see his deep professional training here, his studies under the jazz arranging master Ted Lowe. He stressed that, you know, while the tech is new, the foundations are old. He said to listen to other music box works for inspiration, even the old 72 or 50 note boxes.
And practice the arrangement on a synth first.
Right. And to not forget basic music theory chords, counter melodies. It just confirms that the Miro Box in his hands isn't a toy. It's a serious instrument that rewards real musical knowledge.
So the Miro Box is a blank canvas, but one that requires expertise and detailed arrangement to really make it sing. Okay, let's widen the scope here from personal devotion to something more like public healing. His work with the Music Box went way beyond pop songs and family projects.
Absolutely. This is where we move from the personal to the social. Years ago, he had composed the theme music for a University of Hong Kong website called The Melancholy Little Prince. It's a project that aims to support youth dealing with depression through art and music.
And he decided to revisit that healing melody using this new technology.
He did. And he found that the unique tone of the Music Box was perfectly suited for that kind of lyrical, emotionally delicate work.
Why was it such a good fit?
He described the sound as being exceptionally pure and non-intrusive. And if you think about it, in the context of addressing depression or anxiety, you need music that can soothe without demanding your attention. The mechanical sound, stripped of all that heavy electronic gloss of modern production, it touches the softest parts of the heart. It aligned perfectly with the mission to offer gentle comfort.
That's a remarkable summary of his whole journey with this thing. The technology really provided the perfect intersection for all his different roles. The professional pop creator, the devoted father, and the socially conscious artist composing a score for healing.
It fulfilled a deep childhood dream, all while opening up entirely new creative avenues for him, both professionally and personally.
If you had to boil down the charm of this technology to just one sentence, what was Aoyoung Yip Chun's final takeaway on the Miro Box?
His summary was simple, he said. It brings melodies back to their original purity and emotional resonance.
And that idea of purity, that's the new value here. We started this deep dive talking about how traditional music boxes were so limited by expensive customization and fixed physical forms. But this smart music box technology, with its MIDI capability, it offers infinite creative possibilities, professional studio integration, and the power to create these deeply custom, meaningful stories, whether it's for a record label, a mental health website, or, you know, your own five-year-old daughter.
It completely revives a beloved nostalgic sound by removing the crippling constraints of its analog past. And if technology can reintroduce this original purity and professional control into something as old as the music box, it leaves you with a really fascinating question to think about.
Which is?
Where else might we find these unexpected emotional connections, these creative breakthroughs, by pairing the digital control systems of today with the definitively mechanical, tangible instruments of the past?